You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The COVID-19 pandemic has created many inequalities for New Zealanders, but for overseas New Zealanders, this can come in the form of expiring voting rights. To be eligible to vote in local and general elections, overseas New Zealanders need to return to Aotearoa every 3 years, something that can be financially difficult at the best of times, let alone during a pandemic. Today, Connor spoke to Golaraz Gahraman, the Green Party's spokesperson for electoral reform, on the issue after they have called for change. They spoke about the inequities that the current laws create, the solution the Green Party has put forward, and they ended the conversation with a korero on New Zealand's international affairs. Here is Connor and Golaraz now.
What other issues the Greens see with overseas voting rights, and how would the Greens offer to change them?
So we've always had very limited overseas voting rights compared to other sort of comparable nations, where New Zealanders who are overseas lose their right to vote in New Zealand elections, both local and general elections, if they've been away for longer than 3 years. So obviously this favours those who can afford to take time off, who can afford to travel back, which if you're studying overseas, for example, and your course is, you know, 3 years and you've arrived a little bit early and you don't want to leave until it's done because you can't afford it and all of the logistical issues, that's always been really limiting for families with young kids who have to pay for the whole family to come back. It's always been a problem. But COVID, as with most inequities, has really highlighted this, because of course for the last 18 months or so it's been for some people logistically impossible to get back, and now with the way that the MIQ lottery is working, it's looking less and less likely.
So I wanted to ask about the pandemic. Is this mostly a response to the COVID-19 pandemic, or is this something that needs to be changed for the rights of New Zealanders long term?
We think it needs to be changed permanently. So, for example, the UK and the US have much longer periods that you'd have to be away. So 15 years is the norm. We've got 3. And like I say, you know, like that just seems like for someone who's gone to study or someone who is not on a high income, it isn't actually a very long time. So at the best of times, you might not be able to get back. There's no reason that we need to put a limit that's so income based and so, you know, difficult for so many people to meet, and breaches our Bill of Rights Act. You know, Section 12 gives us all as citizens the right to vote. It doesn't determine, you know, it doesn't depend on where we are at the time. But the pandemic again has really, really, really brought this to light. So we would like to see, at the very least, an urgent interim sort of measure where New Zealanders overseas who haven't been able to come back can at least engage. And, you know, we keep talking about, you know, this is a team and sort of excluding parts of the team who are also going through the pandemic, often in far, far worse circumstances, doesn't feel right.
I just wanted to talk about the changes that can be made, because Chris Farfoy has said that any decision will come after the Justice Committee has made recommendations based on submissions to the inquiry. Is this not the correct process for this kind of decision?
Yeah, so what he's talking about there is that in any after any general election, there's an inquiry into the processes that electoral cycle look like. And we've done that, and the Justice Committee has heard submissions. So that's really focused on the logistics of the way that the general election ran this last term. And it does include COVID issues, obviously, because that was a major part of things. It really, to my mind, doesn't necessarily capture the problem that we're talking about here, because the general election came so soon after the COVID crisis had started. And so some of these issues won't necessarily be addressed in that review outcome, whatever it is that comes out of the Justice Committee. What concerns me is that this was an issue that we raised as the Green Party in government when we were part of the immediate COVID response decisions, as something that needs to be looked at urgently with an eye on that general election. It wasn't addressed with urgency then. And, you know, I totally accept that there was big things happening at the time. But it is disappointing that the government has still not turned its mind to the way that democracy is going to be affected with COVID, and in particular, the fundamental rights of overseas New Zealanders.
Could there be any other solutions to this instead of having to return to New Zealand?
Well, absolutely. So first of all, if we were going to honour the Bill of Rights Act, we wouldn't really have a limit on if you've maintained your citizenship of New Zealand, you're likely to have links here, you're likely to have family here, you are a New Zealander. So, you know, the suspension, there'd be an argument for not having a suspicion at all that's based on where you are living. But to have it be set at 3 years is very arbitrary, and it's a very limiting arbitrary response that somebody's put in place, and it hasn't been reviewed. It needs to be reviewed in light of COVID. So the solutions are either a temporary urgent lifting of the embargo, essentially, on people who've been away for longer than 3 years, and that we review this provision specifically in whole and see the way that it impacts people. It really, really is concerning for me how much income-based this will be for most people in terms of being able to visit New Zealand within a short 3 year period from wherever they're living overseas. And, you know, we're quite a far flung island nation. So for some people that will be actually really logistically and financially too big a challenge to meet within just 3 years, every 3 years, you know.
Along with voting rights, the New Zealand government has also been seen falling short of comparative responses to, say, the Afghanistan crisis and with our immigration intake. Do you think our international affairs need to be improved, and do the Greens offer any solutions to these problems?
Yeah, so again, with COVID, we've seen that global inequities have been highlighted with this pandemic. So some of the responses that New Zealanders had to the pandemic and the international stage that have... we've set a great example. So that's definitely something that we need to hold. Our government has set a great example in terms of the elimination strategy and putting people first. Having said that, we didn't extend things like our income support measures that everybody got and the subsidies that everybody got to working migrants. So, you know, the inequalities and some would say racism in our system often became, you know, a sort of an actual health threat as we went through the pandemic. Added to that was that migrant family reunification hasn't happened and still hasn't happened. So we said that New Zealanders can come home, but anyone who wasn't on a permanent residency visa wasn't included in that. So as the borders closed very quickly, if you were visiting family overseas, for example, and your family and your spouse and often your children were here based on someone's work visa or student visa, that family was likely to be separated by the border throughout the entire COVID crisis, and those families are still to some extent separated. In terms of the Afghan crisis, what has been actually astounding to me, really, really shocking, is that while we committed to sending a Hercules, a massive military aircraft, into Kabul to uplift our own people, the only Afghans that we included in that evacuation were those who had directly worked for New Zealand Defence Force in our deployment there, who we had at first left behind and left at risk. It took, you know, a civil war and the Taliban taking over Kabul for us to say, oh, yeah, okay, we will uplift you, just this tiny group with their families. And so what was really disappointing about that is that all we said we would do is take our own people, and this very limited group of people. Australia committed to taking 3,000 extra at-risk Afghans. Canada committed to taking 20,000. And New Zealand committed to taking no one, other than if you could prove you'd actually directly worked for us. for them to say, okay, a crisis like this means that we will actually accept that there are refugees now, displaced people, women who might be taken into sexual slavery, family members of Afghan New Zealanders were calling for us to uplift their families, and there's been no commitment to that even. So I've been questioning the relevant ministers, so Immigration, Defence and Foreign Affairs and Select Committee over the past few weeks on this, and we've had no shift or commitment. The Prime Minister did say in the stand-up a couple of days ago, in answer to some questions about this, that maybe Cabinet would be considering what we might do about family members of Afghan New Zealanders. That was a shift. It comes pretty late because obviously the Hercules has left already and the airport is closed. But a lot of people have crossed the border into Pakistan. So maybe we could identify those most at risk and those with close connections to New Zealanders here and help that way. Yeah, so our response to the Afghan crisis has been particularly disappointing, I would say.
That was Green Party MP Gauraz Gahraman speaking to Connor about voting rights for overseas New Zealanders, and then also a little catch up on New Zealand's international affairs.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.